Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have delivered salvation to us in the waters of holy baptism, filling us with Your Spirit, giving us forgiveness, life, and salvation. As we live our lives in Christ, there are many times that we are good models, witnesses, and examples of the Holy Gospel. And there are many times when we fail, and fail miserably. Heavenly Father, for those times when we fail to make the good confession, or when we are ashamed of You or being called a Christian, help us to our knees in repentance, being truly sorry for our sin and faith that You will forgive even the greatest of sins, even our sin. Lord God, fill us with a humble attitude that clings to Christ and Christ alone. Bless our confirmads, not only tonight and Saturday, but each and every day of their lives. Bless us all as we walk the walk of faith in Jesus. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 434.
Order of Vespers, page 229. Please stand. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation.
We sing the intro it.
Confirmation essay this evening is by Nick Crocker, and his essay is on the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 to 20.
All right, I just want to say one thing before reading off my essay. I'm kind of losing my voice at the moment, so if my voice dies out in the middle of this, sorry.
If his voice dies out, I'll help him.
All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. This verse is very important to the Bible because it states that all authority has been given to Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This saying shows true meaning of who Jesus really is. He is the Savior, Creator, and Redeemer of all worlds. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. This saying shows that Jesus trusted in his Father's creations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This saying proves that baptism is a part of this verse's meaning. But the baptism was only possible because of Jesus humbling himself and becoming obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at his name every knee should bow, of those in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess him Lord, to the glory of the Father. Philippians 2, verse 7 through 11. The law of this verse is that there's nothing in the teachings of the New Testament that is not included in the teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. When we obey the apostolic doctrine, then we are obeying the commands of Jesus. Everything we do against the commands of Jesus is breaking at least one of the commandments he has written down as a set of laws to abide by. We as sinners do this often because we are tempted by the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. The devil, the father of all lies, is the only one able to tempt us, but we as sinners fall into sin and sometimes possibly fall from the faith. But the law that Jesus has made to protect us keeps us in the faith and makes sure we do not fall to the temptations of Satan. Jesus is the justifier, the Father is the creator and preserver, and the Holy Spirit is the sanctifier. These three parts of the triune God all contribute in keeping us to following these laws or commands Jesus has laid down for us. He forms our road and we follow. This shows why we have the triune God's law. This verse's gospel shows that we need it because we look up to the fatherly figure, or in our case, because we are sinners, Satan. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. John 8, verse 44. This shows that our sinful flesh cannot be saved by other normal people. We need a Savior, and that's where Jesus steps in. By his blood shed on the cross, we are saved through the death and resurrection, 3 days later, of Jesus Christ. And because of this, Jesus took all the sins of the world and completed his duties. He is made righteous to save us. Jesus, true man and true God, is our Lord. He saved us through the washing and rebirth of renewal and of holy baptism. We are saved by Jesus because of his endless love and mercy. This verse means to me that Jesus is the ruler of all worlds and that we are never alone. At times, I've felt alone, and I know that I'm not. Jesus is there with me. He's even here in this room, right next to everyone. To me, he is everything, all I have, all I love, and we should respect all that we have and cherish it, most of all family, which Jesus has provided for us. I am thankful for him, and I hope you are too. But this verse, to me, shows that we should always know that we are all sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, and that we should repent, so that we, too, may lead holy lives in the eyes of God. I believe that Jesus has made all disciples to make it known there is only one true Savior, and that we should fear, love, and trust in the triune God above all things. I believe in hardships over the course of, or I've been in hardships over the course of the 14 years that I've been alive, and I've always made it through them because Jesus was there by my side every day. He took every step I took, and always a couple of feet ahead of me, knowing what I could become. Everyone, everything, and every living thing and non-living should be cherished, because everything we have is a gift of God to support us and make us as strong as we possibly can be.
Great job, Nick. Our service continues with our office hymn, 451, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted.
Old Testament reading for Wednesday in Holy Week is from Isaiah chapters 62 and 63. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. And they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Who is this who comes from Edom, in crimsoned garments from Bozrah? He who is splendid in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. It is I, speaking in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red, and your garments like his who treads in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. I trod them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath. Their lifeblood spattered on my garments and stained all my apparel. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and my year of redemption had come. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled, but there was no one to uphold. So my own arm brought me salvation, and my wrath upheld me. I trampled down the peoples in my anger. I made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood on the earth. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel, that He has granted them according to His compassion, according to the abundance of His steadfast love. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 1. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all tribes of the earth will wail on account of Him. Even so, Amen. O Lord, have mercy.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the Scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now, before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am He. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in His spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom He spoke. One of His disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table close to Jesus. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom He was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to Him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is He to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. So when He had dipped the morsel, He gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after He had taken the morsel, Satan entered into Him. Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do quickly. Now no one at the table knew why He said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, He immediately went out, and it was night. When He had gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself, and glorify Him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Peace, love, and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our suffering servant, our risen Savior and Lord. Text for our meditation this evening is the Gospel reading from John 13 that you heard a moment ago, especially verse 21. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in His spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when I was young and growing up, Wednesday in Holy Week had a name. Oh, maybe not as popular or fancy or catchy as Maundy Thursday or Good Friday, but it had a name. We had church every Wednesday in Holy Week. We kind of looked forward to it. Why? Because it was Spy Wednesday. I don't know where it came from. I don't know what the historical significance of it. But it was Spy Wednesday. Because on this Wednesday in Holy Week, we looked at Judas, the betrayer of Jesus, a spy in the midst of the 12. The one who is lurking behind the scenes, plotting and scheming, looking for an opportunity to make his pocket a little bit fuller, looking for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. Been a lot of books and a lot of movies and a lot of speculation on what was going on inside of Judas's mind and heart. Why did he do what he did? Some have speculated that he was trying to force Jesus' hands. The movie King of Kings takes that approach. Trying to force his hand to make him be a political leader and overthrow the Romans. We don't know. But we do know what Judas did. Judas did look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Jesus sold for 30 pieces of silver, which Judas pocketed. Jesus betrayed by a kiss. Truly, truly, Jesus says, on this Maundy Thursday night, which we will honor and celebrate tomorrow, one of you will betray me. Jesus predicts that this is about to happen. Simon Peter hears it. Simon Peter is not concerned about the soul of the betrayer. Simon Peter wants to gossip. Who is it, Lord? Who is it? Tell me, tell me. Simon Peter doesn't realize that when Jesus says, one of you will betray me, he could have just as easily been talking about Peter. Oh sure, when we talk about the betrayal of Jesus, it's easy to point the finger at Judas. He's an easy mark. He's got it coming. But at the end of our text, Peter says, wherever you go, I'm going to go too, Lord. In fact, I will lay down my life for you. Whenever I hear that verse from John 13, it reminds me of Confirmation Day. Saturday night, 10 of our young people will gather here in God's house, and they will answer two times in the rite of confirmation, that they would rather die than fall away from Jesus. All of us who have been confirmed in the Lutheran Church have made the same promise. Lord, just like Peter said, I will lay down my life for you. You don't have to be a genius to realize that sometimes people make those promises on confirmation and they don't really mean it. They're just doing it to make mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or Aunt Betsy happy. There are also some who really, 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 really do mean it. But when the cares and worries of this world come, just like Peter, just like Judas, we're ashamed of Jesus. We deny, we betray, we drift away from God's house and God's Word. We might even fall from the faith. My friends, there is a huge difference between Judas and Peter. It's not in the crime that they commit against Jesus. Both are horrific. Both are a betrayal or a denial of Jesus. Both. They're equally bad and equally damning. The difference is in what happened when confronted with their sin. In a little while, we'll hear questions and answers with regard to the Office of the Keys and Confession and the Lord's Supper. One of the questions, hope somebody's paying attention here, one of the questions is, what is repentance? Two parts. To be sorry and to have faith. Repentance is two parts. To be sorry and to have faith. The difference between Judas and Peter is that one was repentant and one was not. Both Judas and Peter were equally sorry for their sin. To be sorry for your sin is not enough. We know that Peter was sorry because after his third denial and hearing the rooster crow, Jesus looked at him and Peter melted. And he wept out, went out and wept bitterly. Judas, when he saw what happened and how Jesus was arrested and about to be crucified, all of a sudden he was struck with guilt and remorse. Remember, he even tried to give the money back. Peter was sorry. And he had faith that Jesus could and would forgive him. Judas was sorry, but he had no faith. He had no faith that Jesus really was God. He had no faith that his sin was forgivable and forgivable by Jesus. And in hopelessness, he took his own life. I can stand here tonight and I can look out over the people who are gathered here, those who are listening on the radio, and those for the next weeks or months or years that hear this message on the internet. Jesus says to you right now, truly, truly, I say to you, you, not one of you, you will betray me. All of us are sinners. We are born with sin, and that sin wells up inside of us and manifests itself in ways that should make us blush. By our thoughts, by our words, by our deeds, we shame Jesus. We deny Him, we betray Him, we turn our backs on Him, and other great shame and vice. When confronted with our sin, God calls us to repentance. To be sorry is not enough. What God wants from us is to be sorry in faith. Faith that Jesus, the God-man, has come into this world because we are sinners, because we do deny and betray Jesus, because we do shame Him with our thought, words, and deeds. Jesus takes our sin into Himself and onto Himself. He bleeds and dies our punishment. He pays and marks our bill paid in full. Once and for all, Jesus has done this. One time, Calvary, Good Friday, for all. For all people, for all sin, for all time. You understand what that means? If it's for all people and for all sin and for all time, that means He died for you. That means He died for your sins. That means He died for your sins, past, present, and future. It's done! We can run around and make all the vows and promises we want. Jesus, I will even die for you. But you know what? Jesus doesn't just talk. Jesus lays down His life for us. And then 3 days later, He picks it up again. My friends, tonight, we are growing ever and ever closer to a Friday we call good. Not good for Jesus, but good for us. Tomorrow night, we will remember His enduring gift of love. the Lord's Supper. On Saturday, we will bridge the darkness of Good Friday with the light of Easter Sunday during our vigil. And 10 of our young members will be confirmed and receive their first communion. I'm not so much concerned about the promises you make. You know why? Because I cling to the promise that Christ has made for me, for you, for the life of the world. Cling to that promise in Jesus. My son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now, may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our promises, and our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Again, we welcome you to God's house this Holy Wednesday. We pray that God's Word would be a blessing for you today and each and every day of your life. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. It's pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this night. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who would lay down His life for wayward sinners like us would bring you peace and joy and hope. Today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. This is the fourth of our four-part questioning for our junior confirmads. We have been through a lot this year, and this is the first time that we've split apart our questioning and prayed that this has been a blessing for the congregation as well. Our first questioning was on a Wednesday evening. The second one was on Sunday morning at 10:30. Our third one had to get out of bed early Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. And now our last one on Wednesday in Holy Week. So the members of our congregation, whatever service they go to, hopefully have had an opportunity to pray for, encourage, and to witness the good confession of our 10 junior confirmands. We already heard from Nick. We've got Calvin Cuddy, Max Fitzsimmons, Elena Novacek. How'd I do? Better? All right. Okay. Butchered her name the other night. Shelby Pearson, Derek Poppy, Samantha Robler, Maddie Stolkpart, Jacob Wiest. These are our 10 junior confirmands. And tonight, we're going to cover the last two parts of the small catechism. We're going to look at the office of the keys and confession. So, Nick, get us started, would you please? What are the two parts of confession?
Confession and absolution.
Okay. Try that one more time.
Confession and absolution.
All right, very good. Just speak right into the mic so everybody can hear you. Sometimes people talk about confession and absolution as a third sacrament. We said last time there are only two sacraments. Why is confession and absolution not a sacrament?
Doesn't have visible means.
No visible means. The pastor is not the visible means. We don't ascribe to that. Although Luther did say that if church was cold and you could see the breath coming out of the pastor's mouth, then that breath would be the visible means. So that's pretty cool as well. In our study, we talked about both public and private confession. Max, what sins should we confess publicly?
All sins.
Okay, all sins. Just like we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses. Private confession is a little bit different. What sins should we confess privately?
Those we know and feel in our heart.
Yes, the ones that bother us, the ones that we know and feel in our hearts. Now, if somebody was paying any attention to the sermon, what are the two parts of repentance?
Have faith and to be sorry.
Okay, to be sorry and to have faith. All right, let's shift gears just a little bit. We talk about the office of the keys. Kind of a strange term that scriptures give us. What is the office of the keys?
The power that God gave His church is to forgive and not to forgive our sins.
Okay, very good. It's power. Power from God to the church. It's not power to levy taxes or to wage war. It is the power to forgive or not forgive sins. Why do we call it, or I should say, why does Jesus call it keys?
Unlocks heaven.
Okay, the forgiveness of sins opens or unlocks the door to heaven. What is the threefold power of the office of the keys?
To preach the word.
Preach the word.
To administer the sacraments.
Minister the sacraments.
And to forgive sins.
It forgives. That sounds an awful lot like what a pastor does. That's right. So under normal circumstances, Maddie, who exercises the keys on behalf of the congregation?
Called pastor.
The called pastor. The Bible gives us some qualifications or limitations for someone who would want to be a pastor. Jacob, can you give me some or all of those that we talked about?
A male, confirmed in the faith, not a new believer, good teacher, good reputation.
Okay, very good. There's one more that we talked about, and unless you said it and I didn't hear you. Husband?
Husband of one wife.
Husband of one wife. Literally, one wife at a time. Okay, that's always a good idea for all of us, by the way. Okay. Maddie, stages of admonition, when someone sins against us, what should we do? The stages of admonition sometimes are referred to by shorthand, Matthew 18. What are those steps or stages?
Talk with them one-on-one, then have two or three witnesses, then tell the church, then excommunication.
Okay, and Excommunication, that's one of those big fancy church words. What does that mean?
To not let them participate in the communion of the church.
Okay. To remove someone from the communion of the church. Now, what should be always and only our motivation for church discipline? To get even?
Love.
Love. Love. Love. All right. Now, let's move on to the sixth chief part. The sixth chief part is the Lord's Supper. The Bible gives us several different names for the Lord's Supper. Derek, give me one of those other names.
Communion.
Communion or Holy Communion. Shelby?
Lord's Table.
The Lord's Table.
Sacrament of the Altar.
The Sacrament of the Altar. And that's significant because on the altar in the Old Testament, what did we have? Not sacraments, but sacrifices. And so now, instead of us doing something for God, God does something for us. Got another one, Max?
Eucharist.
The Eucharist, or the Holy Eucharist. And I said whoever gave me that one had to define what that word means.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yes. All right. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Lord's Supper and some specifics there. Calvin, who instituted the Lord's Supper?
Jesus.
Jesus, yes. And when did he do it?
Thursday.
Monday, Thursday. He did it on Monday, Thursday when he spoke some very famous or important words. We would call them the words of institution. Got them? You've done a lot of talking already tonight. Can you do it one more time, Nick?
Yeah.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Very good. Very good. When I was young, I thought that those words were so special that they were almost off limits for anybody who wasn't a pastor. And then I realized, because my pastor taught me, that not only should we not be superstitious with these words of institution, every Christian should memorize them. Why? Because if we know these words, these verba, these words of institution, we will always have God's clear and simple teaching about what the Lord's Supper is. So, very good. Now, what do we call the teaching that we get out of the Bible with regard to the Lord's Supper?
The real presence.
The real presence. Okay? That is very, very distinct in all of Christendom. When I say, what is the real presence, how would you respond to that, Max?
The body and blood is within, with, and under bread and wine.
Okay. The body and blood of Jesus is really present in, with, and under bread and wine. So then, Elena, when you go to the Lord's Supper for the first time on Saturday evening, what four things will you eat or receive?
The body, the blood, the bread, and the wine.
Okay. Bread and wine and the body and blood of Jesus. What four little words help us to remember or grasp this mystery that is beyond our comprehension?
In, with, and under.
In, with, and under. The body and blood of Jesus is in the bread and wine, with the bread and wine, under the form of bread and wine. All four are there. Now, there's an Old Testament story account that we'll hear about tomorrow night in church on Monday, Thursday, that is a foreshadowing or teaches us a lot about the Lord's Supper. What is that Old Testament story? I'm going to have to make everybody laugh here.
The Passover?
Passover. Passover. I told them that the key to remembering that answer was to think of Tommy Armstrong's play last year. All right, some of you got it. Okay. So, he threw the passes over the receiver's head. Now you got it. Okay. So, how do we eat, Samantha, the bread and the wine?
Naturally.
We eat it naturally, just like we would eat any other food. How do we eat the body and blood?
Supernaturally.
Supernaturally. It's a natural eating, but it's beyond our comprehension. It's beyond nature. What do we call it when we eat all four?
Sacramental eating.
Sacramental eating. All right? It's a mystery. Mystery eating. Jacob, you're on the end. We're not going to get back to you, so I'm going to hammer you right now. A couple extra questions, all right? Do we ever only eat the body and blood of Jesus in a spiritual way?
No.
No. It is a spiritual eating, but it's never only a spiritual eating. The body and blood of Jesus are really present. Is the Lord's Supper an unbloody sacrifice for our most recent sins?
No.
No. Jesus died once and all, once and for all. We don't need to re-sacrifice Him on Calvary's cross. Okay. God's Word teaches us that we get benefits from the Lord's Supper. What are the benefits of the Lord's Supper?
Forgiveness of sins and life and salvation.
Forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. You hear that phrase coming out of Pastor Marundi and Pastor Poppy's mouth often during sermons and Bible class or whatever. That is a great, great phrase from our catechism to remember. The Bible says that we should be worthy, worthy before we go to the Lord's Supper. What does true worthiness consist of?
Faith.
Faith. It's not cleaning up our act or what we do or what we say or how much we pay. It's having faith in the very plain and simple words of God. All right. Where does the power come from in the Lord's Supper?
The Word.
The Word. Not the pastor, not the ritual or ceremony, but the Word of God. Now, if unbelievers should accidentally come up to the communion rail along with believers, who would receive the Lord's Supper?
Everyone.
Everyone would receive the Lord's Supper, not just the believers, everyone. And that is why we practice closed communion, to make sure that someone doesn't accidentally receive the body and blood of Jesus to their harm. Is it necessary, Elena, to prepare to receive the Lord's Supper?
Yes.
Yes, God's Word teaches us that. Give me an example of how you might prepare.
Fasting.
Fasting.
20 questions.
The 20 questions in the Catechism.
The Creed.
The Creed, other parts of God's Word, and I should say a word about fasting. We don't talk much about fasting in the Lutheran Church, but fasting is not eating. And we're not talking about, you could not eat for a day or more as a spiritual discipline, but a lot of people have the spiritual discipline of not eating breakfast on Sunday morning when they know they're going to receive the Lord's Supper. Now, if that's going to make somebody sick or lightheaded or pass out, certainly don't do that. But for some people, it is a great spiritual discipline that the first food that is on their mouth on Sunday morning is the body and blood of Jesus. That's pretty cool. Nick, should those who are weak in the faith go to the Lord's Supper?
Yes.
Why?
It strengthens the faith.
Yes, that's what the Lord's Supper does. It strengthens our faith. Okay, God's Word teaches us that because not everybody understands or recognizes the body and blood of Jesus, not everybody can be blanket invited to the Lord's Supper. Give me an example of someone who should not receive the Lord's Supper.
Someone from a different denomination.
Yeah, someone from a different denomination or a different confession of faith.
An infant.
An infant. Yes, we do not practice infant communion. You must be able to recognize the body and blood of Jesus.
And the unrepentant.
Yes, those who are not sorry for their sins. The Lord's Supper is not for them. It is for those who have faith and are truly repentant.
Unbelievers,
yes, this is not a means of evangelism.
not confirmed?
Yes, those who are not yet confirmed, who haven't been taught. All right. We're in the last question in the catechism. Because of infant baptism, what ceremony or rite does the Christian church practice?
Confirmation.
Confirmation. Infants are not able to give a confession or a testimony of the faith. So, after, I don't know, tell me, Maddie, what is confirmation?
Where baptized Christians publicly confess their faith.
Baptized Christians publicly confess the faith. You couldn't make that confession when you were a baby in your mom and dad's arms. But you can make it now. And for the last 6 months, you've been making it very well. And so, tonight, on behalf of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, I present these 10 junior confirmads for confirmation. And we will celebrate their continued and hopefully, we pray, lifelong confession of faith Saturday evening during our Easter vigil. Thank you. Great job. Our service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church.
We turn to the liturgy, page 288. Please stand. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death. By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment, we poor sinners implore you to rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, the Lord.
To raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, the Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ, O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Merciful and everlasting God, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all to bear our sins on the cross. Grant that our hearts may be so fixed with steadfast faith in him that we fear not the power of sin, death, and the devil. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, 438.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. First things first, you are all invited. We've got a little cake and cupcake, little reception in the back, so you're all invited to join us. You can, at that time, if you want, talk to one of the junior confirmads or pat them on the back or tell them how good they did, all that kind of stuff. And most importantly, that you're praying for them, for their good confession tonight and for the rest of their lives. The worship schedule for the rest of the week is on the bulletin. I'm not going to repeat that. You guys can read, check that out. If you haven't gotten the news and notes from last Sunday or the devotional books, they're still in the back. I see the table is out yet. We could still use a little help for the Easter breakfast and those kind of sign-ups, so check that out if you're willing. All right, who wants to go first? Maureen? Arnett? All right. So, I told them they were going to get some goodies tonight.
And they deserve it. Thank you for that bold confession. You make us all very proud of you as our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's on my honor to present on behalf of Thriven and its members a remembrance on this time of your confirmation, a gift that's a pewter cross. And it's our hope that that cross will be a reminder of this day that you made this confession for all the different stages of your life to come. So congratulations.
And while Arnett is handing these out, I should mention, you know, most people can count. And I've been referring to the 10 junior confirmads, and we've only got 9 here tonight. Grace Macklin is sick, and she is not here tonight. And I told the class before we started the questioning tonight, I said, now Grace knows all the answers, and you can always rely on her, and she's not here tonight, so you have to step it up. And they did. But Grace has participated in everything thus far, and we pray that she's healthy enough to be here Saturday night for confirmation. I'm hoping and praying she will be. All right, Maureen? Maureen Marshall has another presentation for you.
Well, I am representing the Lutheran Women in Mission tonight, and I'm congratulating you on their behalf. We would like to present you with prayer books, and I want you to know, maybe some of you realize this, that the women began right at the beginning of the school year praying for you, and I think that our prayers have been answered. You have done very well tonight. Do not take these books home and set them on your shelf and ignore them. They have wonderful prayers in them. Some of them are about things that happen in your life, like sickness, peer pressure, tests. Do use them. And congratulations once again.
Okay. Thanks, Maureen. Now, if this was part one of questioning, I could simply ask you, when Maureen Marshall said, do not put these books on the shelf, is that law or gospel? Sandy, are you up? Are you ready tonight, too? Okay. While she's handing those out, why don't you come down? Names are in the front, so check it out. Okay, we're getting them sorted out. All right, very good. Okay, last presentation for the night, and then it's off to the cake and cupcakes, I promise.
I'm Sandy Langemeyer. I'm representing Lincoln Area Lutherans for Life tonight, and I have a gift for you also. Your gift is a precious feet pin, like the one that I'm wearing on my collar. A precious feet pin is the international pro-life symbol, and it's the exact replica, the exact size and shape of an unborn baby's feet at 10 weeks after conception, or about 6.5 months before the baby will be born. If you look carefully at your precious feet pin, you'll see they're perfect right down to the 10 tiny toes. I'd like to read to you what it says in the card that is with the pin. It says, God's blessings as you are confirmed. And then from Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then to a special confirmand, which is each of you, this precious feet pin is presented to you in honor of your confirmation day. Always remember that God knew and loved you when your feet were the size of this pin and before. Wear this pin to witness that Christ came to give life to all. Through your witness may many learn of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator and Giver of life. From Lincoln Area Lutherans for Life. Congratulations.
Okay. And I think we can thank God for the kids and the presentations and all that. That would be a good thing. We are not doing robes this year and hopefully ever again with our junior confirmads. We don't want to give the impression that the young people here are graduating from church. And so since we won't have a robe, whatever you wear Saturday night, shirt, blouse, whatever, dress, suit, whatever, that'd be a good place to put that precious feet pin on and wear it on Saturday night. It's not the law, but it would just be kind of a nice thing to do. Okay. Thank you, Sandy. I'll take care of Grace's. All right, very good. Thank you. We are not having Bible study tonight, so if you came to feast on God's Word, come feast on cake and cupcakes instead. The choir is practicing upstairs, getting ready for their next times that they'll be singing. There's no Lifelight Bible study tomorrow because of our afternoon service tomorrow at 12:15. Pastor, anything else? Please join us for some goodies and have a blessed Holy Week.